Section 4. Tackling the Top 6 Killers. The latest scientific breakthroughs available to help you prevent, treat, and potentially heal some of the most dreaded diseases, including heart disease, how to mend a broken heart, your brain, treating strokes, how to win the war on cancer, conquering inflammation and autoimmune disease, bringing peace to the body, the double threat of diabetes and obesity, defeating a double threat, Alzheimer's disease, eradicating the beast. Chapter 17. How to mend a broken heart. New tools for the protection and restoration of the most important organ in the body. There's something about life and also the human heart that wants to renew itself. Jack Kornfield, PhD, author of A Path with Heart. We take the beating of our heart for granted. Every day, 24 hours a day, while we're sleeping and while we're awake, this muscular 10-ounce workhorse is continuously pumping the equivalent of liquid gold, our blood, the source of life, through 60,000 miles of blood vessels to nourish every cell in our body. To give you some perspective, these arteries, veins, and capillaries laid end to end would wrap around the earth more than twice at the equator. That's the power we were born with and the power we take for granted. The heart will continue to do its critical work, dependably delivering this life force to us over and over, beating about 35 million times each year, until finally, one day, it stops. It has become so weakened by lifestyle, by arteries that have become so clogged that the blood flow can't make it through, by disease or by old age, that the heart finally fails. And at that moment, when it stops beating, nothing else matters. An ambulance is summoned and paramedics arrive to attempt to coax the heart into resuming beating, shock it into submission to keep oxygen flowing. Because without oxygen, you're a goner. Brain cells begin to die within minutes of being deprived of oxygen. For those who survive resuscitation, life is radically altered. What can you do in 36 seconds? That's probably about how long it took you to listen to the beginning of this chapter. Well, one American dies every 36 seconds from cardiovascular disease. It's the number one killer of Americans, accounting for 1 out of 4 deaths. But that doesn't even begin to convey the scale of this destruction. Globally, 1 out of 5 people will die of heart disease, more than any other disease on the planet. It accounts for about 18 million deaths per year. In other words, it kills almost 50,000 people every day. Let's step back for a moment and think about what those numbers mean. Because the truth is, they aren't just numbers, are they? What we're talking about here are priceless human lives. People like you and me, our parents, our partners, our closest friends, and possibly our children. So you and I both know what's at stake here. We understand, intellectually, emotionally, and viscerally, the urgent need to protect ourselves and those we love from this devastating threat. As you'll soon learn, this is a war that we're increasingly well-equipped to fight and win, thanks to an awe-inspiring wave of technological advances that focus on prevention and regeneration. But before we get to that, I'd like to share with you a little-known aspect of the heart. You're probably unaware of the fact that your heart has its own brain, its own intelligence. The heart emits hormones that impact how the brain functions. Your heart was your original guiding intelligence. In the final chapter of this book, we'll talk about the intelligence of the heart and how to use the brain and heart together to make better decisions for a better quality of life, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, and of course, as relates to your health as well. For now, let me emphasize a simple truth that I hope you'll never forget. You have the power to influence your heart health through factors that you, yes, you, can control. That includes choosing the right foods to eat and avoid, maintaining a healthy body weight, limiting your alcohol intake, not smoking, getting sufficient sleep, and exercising regularly. We've already discussed these simple preventative actions you can take in case you missed them in chapters 12 through 14. It's hugely empowering to realize that even the most basic shifts in your behavior can save extend and invigorate your life. As we mentioned in Chapter 14, Strength, Fitness, and Performance, a major study from the UK showed that simply walking 20 to 30 minutes per day can cut the risk of dying from a heart attack in half. So even a modest commitment like deciding to exercise consistently for, say, 150 minutes each week, 20 to 30 minutes per day, 5 or 6 days a week, can transform your health, radically reducing your risk of many chronic illnesses, including cardiovascular disease. If that doesn't convince you, how about the fact that exercise also increases the blood flow to your brain, improving your cognitive function? Now, unless you've been living under a rock for your entire life, you're probably not that surprised to hear that regular exercise does wonders for your health and vitality. Similarly, you know already that your heart and brain will serve you better if you eat healthily, for example, by consuming more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, while also limiting fatty foods, refined carbs, and sugary drinks. So why am I bothering to remind you of these basic rules of the road? Because prevention is the single best defense against heart disease and many other life-threatening illnesses. I want you to take care of yourself and stay alive so you can benefit from all of the incredible technologies coming to fruition over the next few years. But while this book gives you plenty of fundamental tools to help you revitalize your entire body, including your heart, the focus of this chapter is the power of regenerative medicine. As you probably know by now, regenerative medicine is different than other types of therapies because its goal is to cure or reverse underlying injuries instead of merely treating the symptoms temporarily. Let's dig into the scientific breakthroughs that can both help prevent this disease and also help a person recover. I'm writing this book for you, number one, to make sure you know what to do to take care of yourselves so you can have that incredible life force pulsing through you. But also so that if you or someone you love has a problem, you can know all about the latest regenerative medicine technologies to help you reclaim your health or perhaps emerge even better than you were in the first place. My hope is to also get you excited about the future, to prepare yourself for a longer and even more enjoyable life than you had been planning for. At this point, you may be wondering if these technologies are all just pie in the sky, a futuristic fantasy. But let me tell you, this revolution is happening right now. New tools, treatments, and therapies are becoming available as I write. And the pace of progress is so fast that we expect a cascade of game-changing solutions to be available in the next 12 to 36 months. The last game changer in the world of heart failure was the ventricular assist device, which pumps when the heart can't do so on its own. It's been shown to prolong life and improve its quality for those awaiting heart transplants. But where the future revolution truly lies is in bioengineering and regenerative medicine. In many cases, animal or human trials are already underway, fueling realistic expectations of a brighter and healthier future. You'll be in the know once these technologies are rolled out, so you can improve your quality of life and help others too. In other words, if you take care to maintain your current level of health, in short order, regenerative medicine will unleash an array of truly miraculous tools to help you live better and live longer. We're about to introduce you to an elite cohort of scientific pioneers and 5 tools, technologies, and treatments that will blow your mind. For example, you'll encounter a company called Caladrius Biosciences that is using stem cells to overhaul circulation, helping the heart regenerate. And you'll meet other companies harnessing stem cell and other alternative technology to enable heart attack survivors to do everything from generate new heart muscle cells to grow new blood vessels. You'll meet scientists at Elevion who are injecting naturally occurring molecules and observing the miraculous repair and regeneration of the heart and reversal of stroke symptoms. You'll encounter a brilliant scientist who has pioneered discoveries from Duke to the Texas Heart Institute, where she figured out how to build ghost hearts in the laboratory, providing a new template for organ transplants. You'll also meet a Harvard-incubated biotech company using gene therapy to help man's best friend outlast heart failure, paving the way to similar treatments for us, their non-canine buddies. Now, you know as well as I do that many people see the future through a lens of fear and worry. I get it. For one thing, it's easy to become discouraged when you're exposed to a daily drumbeat of pessimistic news coverage. You start to believe that the world is going to hell in a handbasket and to focus on everything that could conceivably go wrong. You start to forget that the media thrives on tales of misery and woe because that's what sells. We all know the term clickbait, but as you'll see here, there are so many reasons to be optimistic about the future, and nothing gives me more hope than the spectacular progress that scientists are making in the prevention and treatment of cardiovascular disease. These advances alone could save millions of lives. So keep listening on, my friend, and take heart. Tool number one, the power to reverse scars. You've already learned a lot about stem cells and exosomes and their amazing power to heal. Caladrius Biosciences is channeling stem cells' incredible versatility and doing something really amazing. Dr. Doug Losordo, the company's global head of research and development and chief medical officer, is banking on so-called CD34+ stem cells to repair damaged tissue. Losordo witnessed the transformative power of these stem cells to reconstitute mature blood cells in cancer patients who've undergone chemotherapy and radiation. Losordo started wondering how he could train these stem cells to work their magic in other ways. He knew that CD34+ cells can also stimulate growth of new blood vessels, including the smaller blood vessels that make up the body's microcirculation. Think about the circulatory system as a map. Sure, highways carry the heaviest load, but it's the side roads, the microvessels, that are far more numerous. Rather than concentrate on fixing major arterial blockages, Losordo is laser-focused on using CD34+ cells to strengthen circulation, the essence of your body's life force. Would they be effective? No one can really say, but it turns out that a single dose of these repair cells resulted in normalization of circulation in patients with coronary microvascular dysfunction, a condition in which the heart's microcirculation is compromised. When circulation is impaired, the tissue doesn't get enough oxygenated blood, which can lead to heart attacks and heart failure. So Losordo's work with CD34+ cells can potentially save many lives. Now, you might be thinking, Tony, this sounds like something that would play out 20 years from now. But I'm here to tell you that the timeline is much quicker than you would think. You see, Losordo began this research at Tufts University before he joined Northwestern University as director of the program in cardiovascular regenerative medicine at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. He subsequently joined Baxter to oversee the company's regenerative medicine portfolio. Now at Caladrius Biosciences, Losordo is optimistic about a phase 3 trial, this is the final step before FDA approval, injecting CD34+ cells into patients with critical limb ischemia, a chronic condition in which blood supply to the lower extremities is so severely restricted that the tissue starts to break down. If he's successful, this could be the key to improving circulation in a wide variety of other conditions, strengthening that life force of healthy oxygenated blood. The trial is taking place in Japan, which is extremely bullish on regenerative medicine since Kyoto University's Dr. Shinya Yamanaka won the 2012 Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine for his discovery, along with James Thompson, a biologist we'll hear more about soon, that induced pluripotent stem cells can be reprogrammed to become any type of cell line in the body. Keep in mind that Phase 1 examines safety and Phase 2 looks at efficacy. Losordo has already passed those tests. Phase 3 is efficacy at scale, and after obtaining FDA approval, the next step is widespread distribution of this life-saving treatment. Losordo anticipates that the first cell therapy approval for treatment of cardiovascular disease will involve CD34+ cells. Given their awesome ability to jumpstart the growth of new blood vessels, he believes these cells would be a suitable candidate for any sort of degenerative cardiac condition. Could they fortify the circulatory system after a heart attack? Caladrius, the name of Losordo's company, provides a clue. In ancient Roman mythology, the caladrius was a mythical bird with the power to make people's illnesses vanish. Today, Caladrius Biosciences is attempting a similar feat of magic, hoping to vanquish the damage caused by a heart attack. Tool number 2. Making old hearts young again. Consider an inspiring vision of a future in which older hearts and brains could become young again. Does that sound far-fetched? That's exactly what's unfolding at a company called Elevion, introduced to me by my co-author Peter, we're both investors, and co-founded by Dr. Mark Allen, MD, with a team of leading-edge scientists that includes stars like Amy Wagers and Lee Rubin, both professors of stem cell and regenerative biology at Harvard, and Brock Reeve, executive director of the Harvard Stem Cell Institute. Elevion, which develops medicines designed to restore the body's regenerative capacity, is using a naturally occurring molecule called growth differentiation factor 11, GDF-11, to reproduce the rejuvenating effects of young blood. Aged mice that received an injection of GDF-11 saw a reduction in age-related cardiac hypertrophy, an enlarged or thickened heart, which is a hallmark of cardiac aging. GDF-11 also boosted brain function, improved skeletal muscle repair, and increased exercise capacity. On its own or in conjunction with other molecules, GDF-11 could prompt the human body to rev up its capacity for regeneration. Ultimately, technologies like this can be expected to help revitalize your body, including your heart and brain. Elevion's lead drug candidate, recombinant human GDF-11, has shown efficacy in preclinical models of heart failure and stroke, plus Alzheimer's disease and type 2 diabetes. Could this mean that aging hearts and brains are a thing of the past? Time and painstaking research will tell. As I write this, Elevion is moving toward an early phase 1 trial to establish that its approach is safe for human beings. Tool number 3, a stem cell patch for heart vessels. Stem cells are also playing a starring role in a recently FDA-approved patch for repair and reconstruction of vessels, even ones that have been severely affected by cholesterol buildup. Core Matrix Cardiovascular has invented a scaffold that allows the patient's own stem cells to regenerate tissue. Already used in more than 100,000 patients worldwide, the exceptionally strong, pliable, and thin material is stitched by surgeons onto the heart, achieving permanent repair. Since it uses your own cells to heal, it isn't seen as a foreign substance the body needs to attack, which makes it vastly superior to current surgical patches. As amazing as this development is, the patch still requires surgery to be applied. But there's actually another therapy that might bypass the need for surgery altogether. As we've mentioned before, after someone suffers from a heart attack, the heart experiences permanent structural damage. Now, Ventrix, a company spun out of the University of California, San Diego, is fine-tuning Ventrigel, a hydrogel that could be injected via catheter to heal areas heavy in scar formation. In 2019, Ventrix finished its first in-humans clinical trial, which showed that the gel is both safe and feasible. Now the company is seeing if Ventrigel can reach areas of the heart that the typical surgical approach, coronary artery bypass graft, can't access. Researchers hope that this could soon replace the need for one of the most invasive cardiac surgeries. Tool number 4, building new hearts. I was betting the farm that I could regenerate a monkey's heart. Chuck Murray. After listening to the beginning of this chapter, you know already that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the U.S. and worldwide. You may even have known that before listening to this chapter. After all, it's pretty common knowledge. But did you ever wonder why? Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer because the heart is the least regenerative organ, says Dr. Chuck Murray, director of the University of Washington's Heart Regeneration Program, and chair of the university's Institute for Stem Cell and Regenerative Medicine. Maybe the brain is almost as bad, but there's at least bona fide stem cells in the brain and spinal cord that can make new nerves. The best evidence is that there are no stem cells in the heart. In other words, the heart can't heal itself on its own after an injury like a heart attack. Here's the problem with that. If you're not taking care of your body, exercising, and eating healthy foods, you can suffer gradual heart failure or a sudden heart attack. Consider that the heart contains 6 or 7 billion heart muscle cells. If you have a serious heart attack and are fortunate enough to survive, you can lose more than 1 billion of those cells. The heart doesn't replace them, so it never replaces their ability to contract either. The heart's attempt to heal itself results in scars, which interfere with heart conduction, making it even more prone to attacks like arrhythmias. After that, it's often a slow downward spiral. When the heart can't adequately pump blood through the body, heart failure ensues. The prognosis is worse than for many forms of cancer, which is why it's the world's leading cause of death. If only we could figure out how to make the heart regenerate, we could cure many kinds of heart disease. That realization took root in Murray's mind in the 1990s. He has been obsessed with it ever since. The idea first occurred to him as he sat working on a self-proclaimed crappy paper that he'd left unfinished as he worked toward his PhD. A postdoctoral fellow at the time, Murray was training in the biology of blood vessels. He started trying to reprogram scar cells, fibroblasts, into cardiac muscle cells. Exciting work, except Murray failed abysmally. "I spent lots of money and had people seriously worried about whether I could be a viable scientist," he recalls. "My department chair was tapping at his watch." Murray wasn't sure where to turn next, but his next steps became clear when he and the entire world witnessed a scientific breakthrough. In 1998, a legendary biologist named James Thompson derived the first human embryonic stem cell line. He later notched the same accomplishment with human-induced pluripotent stem cells, genetically programmed to resemble embryonic stem cells that have the ability to become any specialized cell in the body. The embryonic stem cells could turn into any of the 200 cell types in the human body. Murray's lab was lucky enough to be the first at the University of Washington to get them and start culturing them. "We began to see little clumps of beating embryonic heart cells, a heart in a dish, beat spontaneously," says Murray. "It was a great joy to watch it." While the study Murray conducted is not one that I personally support, because I don't support the use of monkeys for research, I still feel compelled to share it with you because it did create a breakthrough that has generated promising results for those suffering from damaged hearts. Now that Murray had the cells he needed for his research, he set about using them to build new heart muscle. He induced heart attacks in mice and rats, inserted embryonic cardiac stem cells, and watched them multiply over time and remuscularize part of the heart wall. "That was cool," he says. Then he did a study using slightly bigger animals, guinea pigs, and showed that cardiac cells injected into a damaged heart region would engraft, multiply, and improve function. This sounds like sci-fi, but it's real. Murray was actually creating brand new heart muscle. Progress was steady, but slow. "I would always say we're 5 years from the clinic," says Murray. "I started to feel that if I looked at my death certificate, it would say incrementalism. So I took the best heart muscle cells I had and decided to put them into a macaque monkey, which could best predict human response. I blew my rainy day account on this experiment. I was betting the farm that I could regenerate a monkey's heart. In went the cells, human heart muscle infiltrating damaged regions of a monkey's heart." For contrast, Murray's team had popped in a variant of a jellyfish gene that flashed green with every heartbeat. "We could see the cells beating and at what rate and rhythm," he says. "They were in beautiful synchrony with the heart in which they resided. It was one of the most beautiful days in my life as a scientist." In 2018, in a paper that generated no small amount of buzz, Murray showed that monkeys who had been given heart attacks and then received injections of human cardiac muscle cells into the wall of their heart had achieved normal ejection fraction, the amount of blood squeezed out with each heartbeat, within 3 months after treatment. The injected cells generated new heart muscle cells, which helped the heart resume vigorous pumping, restoring function. Decades after Murray started his work, it's finally time to see if the promising results achieved in monkeys can be replicated in humans. The goal? Transplanting stem cells into heart attack survivors to prevent heart failure. Once again, this sounds like a script from a Hollywood sci-fi flick, doesn't it? Perhaps Murray's dream might come true 50 years from now. But you won't have to wait nearly that long. A recent clinical trial done in 2015 by University of Texas Health Science Center and the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute injected a combination of mesenchymal and cardiac stem cells as regenerative therapy for patients with severe heart failure. This is one of the first clinical trials to introduce engineered cardiac stem cells into patients. It's only a matter of time before we start to see even more of these innovations pass through clinical trials. Back in Seattle, Murray's team recently shifted its research to a local cell engineering company, Sana Biotechnology, where Murray is the head of cardiac cell therapy. Ever the optimist, Murray thinks, hopes, he'll be injecting stem cells into human hearts by 2023. It's working in animals, and if it works similarly in humans, this will be one of the biggest revolutions in heart repair in the history of medicine. It's complicated and exhausting work, he says. Without a touch of irony, he observes, this stuff isn't for the faint-hearted. As a quick reminder of another extraordinary cardiac regenerative technology we learned about back in Chapter 8, Gene Therapy and CRISPR, Dr. Deepak Srivastava, a cardiologist and the president of Gladstone Institutes, learned to control the fate of cardiac fibroblast cells, connective tissue, reprogramming them so they could perform an entirely different function within the heart. Srivastava used gene therapy to change the fate of the fibroblast cells, turning them into beating heart cells. He was able to create brand new muscle in a failing heart by convincing fibroblast cells already in the heart to change jobs. Tool number 5, creating ghost hearts. I took a deep breath and listened to the old bray of my heart. I am, I am, I am. Sylvia Plath. While Murray is working on remuscularizing a heart, one of his colleagues, Doris Taylor, PhD, is focusing on decellularizing one. It's called a ghost heart. What the heck is that? Well, in 1998, Taylor's team at Duke University was the first to transplant a type of animal cell into the heart of an animal and show improved function after a heart attack. The amazing thing is that some of the cells survived and went on to mimic heart cells. Close to 10 years later, though, she hadn't made significant progress. She began to doubt that she'd ever succeed in turning a thin, leathery scar from a heart attack back into healthy, functioning heart cells. It was time for a completely new strategy. She turned to her trainee, Harold Ott, and said, "Wouldn't it be cool if we could do this a different way?" And that's how the ghost heart came to be. Their team took a rat heart, stripped it of its cells, then introduced immature rat heart cells to build a beating heart. The process has evolved since those early days, and Taylor has succeeded in doing the same thing with a cadaver heart, using salt to break down the structure and a detergent to wash away the cells. Ta-da! A decellularized heart, ghostly opaque because it's devoid of its blood and cells, consisting only of the essential scaffolding, the branches that supply blood to the body. As Taylor puts it, we just hang a heart in a lab while we wait for it to decellularize. If anything, the next step sounds even more strange. It entails recellularizing the ghost heart by infusing it with millions of immature heart cells made from human stem cells, connecting the entire contraption to a pump and waiting as the heart regenerates and starts beating. This sounds like a scene out of a mad scientist script, right? But Taylor, who is now an independent scientist, actually grew more than 100 of these hearts at the Texas Heart Institute, where she was the director of regenerative medicine research. As we discussed in Chapter 5 on organ regeneration, this is just one of many ways that a new generation of replacement organs are being created. Remember that regenerative medicine is critical for the heart because heart cells don't divide. Heart cells lost to a heart attack are gone forever. There's little room for failure. The heart is one organ that really has to work perfectly when you put it in, says Taylor. You don't have two hearts like you have two kidneys or two lungs or multiple liver lobes. Remember, regenerative medicine is different than other types of therapies because its goal isn't to treat symptoms. It's to cure the underlying injury. Our responsibility is greater, says Taylor. It's not like a drug where the therapy goes away in days or weeks. We hope that this therapy is there to stay. Where Murray is trying to fix a broken heart, one that has suffered a heart attack, Taylor is creating new hearts that could potentially be transplanted into people suffering heart failure or other heart conditions. Our ultimate goal is to automate the production of human hearts, says Taylor. I believe we will do that within the next 2 years. Taylor attributes her success in part to her gender. As a woman, I see relationships between ideas that not everyone does, she says. The reason we're going to succeed is because we're regenerating the heart at the emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical level. In the early days of trying to build the original recellularized hearts, Taylor was worried that they might not be able to be sustained for very long, that their heartbeats wouldn't hit a regular cadence. Did you love it enough? A lab technician asked her. He was joking. Nonetheless, says Taylor, I think he had a point. Here's what's really amazing. Taylor has also used these ghost hearts as a source for a cardiac patch, cutting out a piece of decellularized heart and grafting it onto a damaged heart. And in what sounds like a page from Frankenstein, she's experimented with grinding up a ghost heart into a powder that forms the basis for a gel that's injected into a scarred heart. How's that for out-of-the-box thinking? Much of her recent work has focused on building pediatric-sized humanized hearts. These hearts respond to drugs, says Taylor. They have electrical signals. We hope to convince the world we've created the first intact heart from human-induced pluripotent stem cells. Large animal studies, then clinical trials in humans, are next in line. I'm confident, says Taylor. You know how you get to a point and you know, this is it, we are there? That's how I feel about this. I credit my team with making this work. Science is a team sport, and we've reached a critical juncture. Indeed, I hope that's one of the key lessons you draw from this chapter. We've reached a critical juncture. That's to say, we've arrived at a moment in time where the research is so sophisticated that it's sometimes difficult to distinguish between science and science fiction. All of this progress toward regenerating the human heart is truly cause for awe and wonder. Meanwhile, Dr. Harold Ott, Taylor's trainee from many years ago, is also blazing a trail with his historic work of organ regeneration. His efforts are concentrated primarily on engineering a bioartificial heart for patients who need heart transplants. We are all dreamers in this field, says Ott, a thoracic surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital, where he also directs the Center for Organ Engineering, and an associate professor in surgery at Harvard Medical School. Regenerating organs, creating living tissue from living tissue, is one of the next big hurdles, he adds. We have to come up with a way for us to not die from one organ failing. On the academic side, Ott's work revolves around engineering hearts and lungs. But with financial backing from investors like Peter and I, he's also spun out a company, Eviva Medical. It uses biological scaffolds to create replacement kidneys and pancreases, organs that aren't as complex as hearts. He's creating personalized organ grafts by stripping an organ of its cells, then reseeding it with cells from the intended donor, which can eliminate one of the biggest threats that accompany organ transplants, the potential for the donor's body to reject foreign tissue. It's more daunting to work with hearts than kidneys. You can't just replace a little bit of heart function and get away with it, says Ott. By contrast, you need just 10 to 15% of kidney function to get off dialysis. But his research into kidneys and pancreases can provide useful insights that will also help in his efforts to regenerate the heart. If we focus on simpler tissues, says Ott, We can learn a lot that we can apply to more complex tissues, which can help us get to clinical applications faster. With so many lives at stake, the sense of urgency is palpable. I hope by now that you have a keen appreciation for some of the radical ways in which regenerative medicine is beginning to heal the human heart. Just think for a moment about a few of the remarkable advances we've discussed. For example, we've talked about infusing patients with CD34+ cells to restore their circulation, about using stem cells to build new heart muscle in the wake of a heart attack, and about bioengineering artificial hearts for use in transplants. When you think about what these innovations represent, you begin to realize that this scientific revolution challenges some fundamental assumptions that have held true for as long as humans have walked the earth. After all, what could be more fundamental than the assumption that as we age, our bodies must inevitably and inexorably deteriorate? Regenerative medicine brings new hope that this process of decline can be reversed, that rejuvenation is a practical option. But we're not willing to stop there, are we? We humans want it all. So perhaps it should be no surprise to discover that some of the smartest scientists in the field are now striving to apply the same kind of breakthrough technology to extend the lives of our pets as well. For example, the canine crazy co-founders of Rejuvenate Bio, a company based in San Diego, are working to advance a gene therapy technology to increase dogs' health span and cure age-related diseases. If you have a beloved pet, be sure to sit up and pay attention, because there are some breakthroughs geared toward our furry friends as well. What's the inspiration behind this work? Bear, a 100-pound German shepherd who belongs to Rejuvenate Bio's co-founder and chief science officer, Noah Davidson. He became Bear's owner 6 months into his postdoctoral fellowship in the Harvard Medical School lab of renowned genetics professor George Church. Rejuvenate Bio traces its roots to this lab, where researchers used a combination gene therapy to treat obesity, type 2 diabetes, kidney failure, and heart failure in mice. The therapy is given as a one-time intravenous injection, but what's really interesting about it is that it doesn't change the existing DNA of the mice, so there are no concerns about passing along permanent genetic changes to future generations. Even more interesting, mice bred with these gene mutations, these designer creatures are called transgenic mice, had their lifespans increased up to 30%. Dan Oliver, the CEO and co-founder of Rejuvenate Bio, remarks, "Due to these transgenic mouse experiments, we have 3+ years of safety data showing that the major side effect of this treatment is that the mice live longer." For pet lovers like me, that sounds like reason to celebrate. Rejuvenate Bio is now studying whether this technology can address mitral valve disease, the leading type of canine heart failure. Between 5 to 7 million dogs in the U.S. suffer from this condition. Just imagine your pet being miraculously healed and living longer. What everyone is interested in is improving health span, increasing health, and increasing the number of years of health, says Oliver. Dogs share our environment and get a number of the same age-related conditions. So if we want to move into humans, it will be easier. The data ports over nicely. In other words, figuring out how to help dogs live longer, healthier lives could lead to similar breakthroughs for their owners, which would be an incredible feat. This prospect adds a whole new dimension to the phrase, man's best friend. I certainly wish this technology had been around to help my 85-pound best friend Buddha, a pit bull who was the sweetest thing you could ever imagine. He'd climb up on me like he was a little terrier, put his front legs around me and try to get a hug. He seemed so strong and powerful, the embodiment of health. But he died of a heart attack when he was only 3 years old. We were devastated. With this type of gene therapy technology, he could still be alive today. Thanks to the scientists you've met in this chapter, that vision of rejuvenation for dogs and humans is rapidly becoming a reality. The only thing greater than the power of the mind is the courage of the heart. John Nash. I can't emphasize enough the little things you can do that can keep you from needing most of these therapies in the first place. So please take this entire book in for your benefit and for those you love. If you'll take care of yourself today and encourage those you love, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, dear friends, family, extended family, to do the same. If they do, technology that can heal one of the most important organs in our bodies and address the number one cause of death on Earth. Take care of yourself, because the technology is coming faster than you can imagine. Soon we'll be able to tap into the power of stem cells, gene therapy, and the literal building of new hearts, ghost hearts, to ensure a future that shines brighter than we ever thought possible. Take care of yourself, my dear friend, and celebrate a long, healthy, vital, strong life, filled with life force driven by this beautiful, magnificent gift from our Creator, the heart. In our next chapter, we'll learn revolutionary techniques and technology that are helping to prevent and treat the fifth leading cause of death in the United States, strokes. Bonus breakthrough, a twice-a-year injection to fight high cholesterol. Gene silencing technology is a new biotechnology that enables you to prevent the expression of certain genes. The genes are still present, they've just been muted. This kind of breakthrough advancement has been around for 20 years. Until now, most treatments using this technology were used to treat rare genetic diseases. But that's about to change. The UK's National Health Service has recently approved inclisiran, a cholesterol-lowering injection that needs to be administered only twice a year. It's meant for those who suffer from a genetic condition leading to high cholesterol, who have suffered a heart attack or stroke, or who haven't responded well to mainstay treatments like Lipitor. This new treatment will be prescribed to 300,000 people over the next 3 years. There's a protein, PCSK9, that regulates cholesterol in our bodies. But it's present in excess in people with high levels of LDL, the bad cholesterol. But what if we could prevent PCSK9 from being produced in the first place? If you remember, mRNA is the type of RNA that is responsible for encoding proteins. It turns out a different version of RNA, siRNA, small interfering RNA, has an important role in targeting mRNA and interfering with or destroying it. Inclisiran is an siRNA that targets the mRNA that encodes PCSK9. It's been heavily modified to withstand degradation in the blood and is able to specifically target liver cells, so there are minimal side effects. Inclisiran is the first use of gene silencing in such a common disease. Lipitor not cutting it? At high risk for a cardiac event due to high cholesterol? According to the experts, just 2 jabs a year and you're set. This might be worth checking out with your doctor if you have genetically high LDL cholesterol.